2 Timothy chapter number 2, I didn't realize this until this afternoon as I was at home just for a little bit and was thinking about the message tonight and I was excited about it, and I started thinking, well, wait a minute, it kind of went with our lesson this morning in church. And it's been kind of doing that the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you folks have paid attention to that, but the Sunday night and the Sunday morning, they've been really going hand in hand, and I don't do that purposely. Honestly, I don't think about it at the time until I get through it. Like, wow, that's weird how God led me in that area. Today, we're going to be dealing with something I think is very important that I want all of us to really consider, and that's the place of service. And you say, you're going to harp on us for not serving? No, I'm not going to harp on anybody for not serving. I want to be an encouragement to be able to see you, to get you to see the need, how important serving God and how important serving others and how important it is to serve the community that we're in. Because that's what we're called to do. And hopefully you'll understand this here in a little bit. Let's read verse number 20 down through verse number 26. I started here in Sunday school this morning. I told the Sunday school class I was purposely leaving out verse 20 and 21 because this is what we're going to be dealing with tonight. Let's read this. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 20 says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." Think about this word. What's it say here? It says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." Then it doesn't stop there. It says, "Sanctified and meet," say it with me, "for the master's use." I want you to understand what that is. For the master's use is to be a servant for him. It doesn't stop there. It says, "And prepared unto every good work." I'll finish the rest of this out. It says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolishness and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." We're going to focus on verse number 24 as well this evening. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be here tonight. We thank you for your people who are faithful to your house. Lord, they didn't come to hear me. They came to hear from you. So God, I pray that the message that you've laid upon my heart would minister to every person that's in here. Thank you for the privilege of allowing us to meet once again. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. I begin to think not too long ago the importance of what it means to serve God. I have had many, many examples in my life where I was able to look at many individuals who were sold out for God, who had a desire to serve him, not just on a weekly basis, not just on a monthly basis or a yearly basis, but I've seen people that were sold out to serve God on a daily basis. They came to a point in their life where they realized that their life needed to bring honor to God, and there needed to be sanctification. They needed to be purged from certain things for the use of being in place to be used for the master's work. I want you to think about something this evening. Is it not an honor for us that God wants to use every individual to help build his kingdom? I want you to think about that. I don't think a lot of us realize the importance of what it means to truly serve God. I have been privileged to, as I said a little while ago, to know many individuals. There have been many people who have stuck out in my mind that were sold out for God, who had a desire to serve them. People that had made impact on my life. You've heard some stories before, obviously from my mouth, from people that I've looked up to as a younger person. And I look up to these people for a reason, because I seen something different in their life that I wanted to have. And so I would try to learn from these people the importance of what they had in their life that wanted to make them to serve God. There is a few in my life I'm going to tell you about this evening. A lot of you know this lady. I've said her name before, but her name is Mrs. Hager. She's no longer with us, but I remember her as a young child. Her being my Sunday school teacher, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't even remember the age I was at. It's funny for the things that I can remember, but I could not remember the age, what she taught me. But I do remember something very specific about her. She was a woman who didn't really have much. She didn't have a fancy car. Matter of fact, her car barely ran half the time. I know you folks that have been around as long as I have, you're going to be astounded at what I'm going to tell you, the cars that she drove. She drove a yellow Thunderbird. And you're saying, you're crazy. You remember that? Yeah, things stick out in my mind that I remember. I remember Dina used to drive one of those little blue Omni cars. I think that's what it was called. It's weird that I remember those things, Dina. But I remember those things. So here's this sweet little old lady who really didn't have much to brag about much here on earth. But one thing that really stuck out to me was this: her willingness to serve God. What she did in her life has impacted me in many ways, and it probably impacted some other folks around here. But I look at her life, and it basically says this: Lord, empty myself so that I can see you and you can use me for your glory. And she was one of the sweetest Sunday school teachers that I have ever had in my life, to be honest with you. Somebody I'll never forget the impact that she made. She was a tremendous, tremendous teacher of the Word of God to young people. There's another man that was in my life years ago. You guys heard me talk about Dallas before, so I'm not going to talk about him tonight. You've heard me talk about Q before. Q was my youth leader as well. I'm not going to talk about Q tonight. But I'm going to talk about a man who had an impact on my life tonight that I thought was a tremendous servant of God. And his name was Mike McDonald. That man I really looked up to. In a sense, I probably idolized him. But I saw something in that man at that point in time in his life to where what God saved him from, and he realized what God saved him from, and began to see the changes that God made in his life. And I'm looking at this as a young person. And I'm looking at this individual being literally transformed in front of my eyes. And I saw this man who really was a broken man, who had a lot of issues, had some problems with some drugs and probably alcohol at one point in time in his life. But I saw a man get gloriously saved. And I saw a man that God began to empty him and begin to pour himself into this man's life. And this man's life, who used to be known as one of the toughest men that you probably think of in the town of Council Bluffs or in Omaha area. You wouldn't want to mess with a guy, but I saw this guy become a servant of God. I remember very well as we walk in here now, which is our lobby out there. A lot of you folks don't remember this, but if you go back with me a few years, you will remember that used to be an add-on room. It was just a big space, and at that point in time, it was just used as kind of a little congregation area after it was added on to our previous building, and that was used for our 7th and 8th grade class. And in that 7th and 8th grade class, there was young men that were being molded and shaped by another man because he was allowing God to use him as a servant. Did he mess up in life? He sure did. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. But I do know this: he's in heaven today. But he had an impact on my life. That impact was this: wanting to be an encouragement, wanting to be a servant to people that were around me. We're losing something today in our society, and that is this: the older generation is dying off, Isaac. You look around us, we're getting older. As we get older, the older people get older, then they end up dying off. We've seen that take place in our church. And we're losing people of great value. People who have been around for many years who had a desire to teach. And we can teach in many different ways. I think back and I think of Gertrude. Anybody remember Gertrude? You know, in her later years in life, she taught piano probably up until the day that she passed, to be honest with you. She had that passion, she had that desire. But even in her old age, as Chris began to develop a desire to learn some things, because she plays by ear, she doesn't play by notes. So everything that she plays, she hears those things. But I remember even at an old age, Gertrude was still taking the time to teach the next generation to follow in their footsteps. Where will this world be if we don't have people who are willing to stand up to be serving one another, to equip us to go further into the world? Well, there has to come a point in time in our life to where this takes place. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. Gold is one of the most precious metals. Then it goes down to silver, but then it also goes into this. It says, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If you want to come into a place of being a servant, you're going to have to go through a purging process. If you want to look like gold, guess what you got to do? You got to go through that fire. Has anybody ever seen gold come out of the ground? When gold comes out of the ground and the gold miners are out there and they're trying to go out there and strike it rich, they're out there, they're in a water, they're in a dirt, they're in some extreme temperatures. They're panning through that gold trying to find it. And when they find gold, they find this little glimmer of hope. It shines just a little bit, but behind that shininess, it's covered in dirt. And gold at its finest has to go through that purging process to bring it more value to it. And that's the same with the life of a believer. To really want to be used by God, to be a servant of God, you're going to have to go through that purging process so that you can get rid of all those, what's that word I'm looking for? Help me out here, please. I'm having a... Impurities, thank you. To get rid of all the impurities, you have to go through that purging process. It says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Once you go through that purging process, the master's going to look at you and he's going to say, okay, now that you've been purged, now that you've gone through that process, now it's time for the next step. Now it's time for you to become a servant of God. So as this older generation, and please don't take me wrong as I'm saying this, because I don't want anybody here to pass. I don't want that. You're saying, is God done with me? No, you're more valuable now than you were 20 years ago. Because you have much more knowledge, you have much more wisdom. You have a better advice to give to us. But as that older generation begins to drop off the face of the earth and go into glory, there's this void that's there, and that is this: the younger generation not willing to serve. Think about that. If we are the last of God's people in this church that are doing anything right now, what's going to happen when we die off and the younger generation doesn't want to come along to serve God? It's an important step. You know, we have many young people in our church today, and I hope and I pray that in the church that we have now, I hope and I pray that we already have our future pastor. I do. I hope and pray that in our church that we have the next future piano player, the next song leader, the next security guard, the next sound guy, the next video guy, the next nursery lady. You know, that's a ministry that is needed. It's a place of service. You know, there's only certain people on that list. I understand not everybody can do those things. I understand that. Trust me. But what a tremendous way to be a service to individuals. We have people down in our nursery on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights. For what reason? To take care of kids that are in need of being taken care of so you don't have to worry about it, so that you can put your focus on God. See, as younger people, we should have a desire to be serving God. For what reason? Well, if we were to jump down through verse number 24, and I want you to notice the third word in this verse here. It says, and the servant. That's talking about us. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but it says this, but be gentle unto all men. It's not a place for us to get on our soapbox and begin to talk down to somebody, degrade them, whatever, however that takes place. But as a servant, we're going to have that servant's heart. And because of that, there must be a gentleness that comes out. Can I share something with you this afternoon, if I could? At times, I think I'm very gentle. But I know and I realize that I come across as a harsh individual. That's how God created me. And I'm not making an excuse for it. But you know what? God's working on my heart. And he's saying, Chad, you've got to be more gentle. You've got to be more compassionate. You've got to learn how to love more. You've got to learn how to care for people more. And it is so true. So in this process of being a servant of the Lord, you must be gentle. And it doesn't just say unto a few, but the word says unto all men. And then as you become a servant, here's something that needs to be really considered. You know, it's our duty to teach. Do you know that? We should have a desire to be teaching others. There's been a great thing that has happened here in our church this last year. It's unusual to look out in our audience and not see Doug here. Doug he's gotten very sick this week along with everybody else. There's a lot of sickness going around. But we have literally watched a man being transformed in front of our very eyes. How God is molding him, shaping him into what he wants him to be. And in the last few months, he has had the urge to teach. He really got the bug when we had our midweek services throughout the summer. And we took the break from our original Wednesday nights and we focused on the young people. By the way, some people might say, well, I didn't really care for that. Can I say this? Two young people got saved. If it was worth changing how we do Wednesday nights for two young people to get saved, it was very well worth it. But during that time, we got to see some men who have never stepped up to the plate before in teaching. And Doug was one of them. And we already know Doug's a gentle man, very kind, very compassionate. But we got to see God move in a different direction with him and begin to shape him even more. And put him into a place of where he's having an urge to teach. This man studies his Bible like you wouldn't believe. Man, when he first got saved, he was telling me what he's reading. He's telling me what he's learning. I was like, wow, dude, slow down. You're overloading my brain. Asking question after question. And I'm like, dude, you got to stop. Yeah, I say dude because I'm under 50. Okay? When I get to 50, I'm not going to say dude no more. I'm going to say, sir, calm down. But he would give me all this information. And I'm saying this for a reason, because it's working out that he's not here, because if he's here, he'd probably be really embarrassed. But we're seeing a guy who has a desire to be teaching young people. And these last few Wednesday nights, Carolyn and him, they team up together. They run the Master's Club together. A few of the teenagers, they help out. But what he gets to do, he gets to teach. What a great way to serve. To have an impact on somebody's life. And as I sit there and I think about this, and as I give this story of some teachers that had an influence on my life, I'm sitting there thinking, man, this next generation, after I'm gone, somebody might get called out of the young children's church and go into a mission field or go into an evangelism and go into the preaching, and they might get up here from 20, 25, 30 years from now, and they might say, man, I remember a guy who was faithful to the Lord, who was new to being a Christian, who God used, who made an impact on my life to be my teacher. And because of his influence, I'm either standing behind the pulpit or I'm behind the piano today or I'm leading songs today or I'm following in their footsteps and I'm a teacher as well. You see the importance of being a servant? Because you can have an effect on somebody's life. I'm still in the learning stages in a lot of things. I'm thankful that God brought Kurt and Andrew back home. I really am. Now, they're probably going to change their mind here in a couple of months when it's 20 below zero and they can't escape and go back to Florida. But there's something that Kurt has taught me since he's been here. And that's in the form of evangelism. Some things that I've never thought of. Some things that I don't think about that he's able to bring to light. There's been some conversations that Dallas and I have had where he has taught me some things. And I can go on and on with folks in here through conversation of teaching. And that's a form of being a servant. And that's not saying, hey, listen to me, look at what I know, look at the knowledge that I have grasped from this. It's not about that. It's saying, man, God has given me something, and in return, I want to give it to you. And that's what we should be striving for in our life. But unfortunately, some of us haven't gone through that purging process. Maybe we're being rebellious in some ways, and maybe we're holding on to some things that we don't want to give up. We don't want to be purged just yet. We want to have our time. We want to have our fun in the sun. But can I say this? And I'm not saying this to discourage you, but time is very short. The book of James says, life is nothing but a vapor. It's here one day and it's gone the next. And so the time that we do have, which is what I'm so passionate about, which is why I'm trying to bring this forth tonight, because I'm passionate about you and I being servants for God for this world. Because there will come a day when you and I will stand before an almighty God, and we will be accountable for how we served. And I don't want anybody to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know how. I wasn't taught. I wasn't equipped. I didn't get the right tools or the right mentorship. And I don't want that to be the case. Because we all have a tremendous job to do. Teaching. I know it's not everybody's forte. But there's a lesson that we can learn from each other. What you have is valuable. And I want to see it to continue to go on. Verse number 23 says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gentle strifes. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God prevention will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. The reason why we teach is to show people the need for Jesus Christ. Wouldn't we agree with that? I mean, can't we sit back and look and take Pastor for an example. Can't we just take a look back in his life and see what he taught us as a servant? Think about this. Think about what he taught us in the last year of his life. Being sick most of his life. Losing that drastic weight where his suits didn't even fit him anymore. Not really having the energy to study the Word of God the way that he used to. He could have used every excuse in the book. But you know what he was showing us as a servant of God during those last times that he had? What he was showing us, no matter what you go through, still serve the Lord. No matter how bleak life looks, still serve the Lord. No matter how sick your body might become, serve the Lord. No matter if you don't know if you're going to wake up the next day, still serve the Lord. He was teaching us all these things in his last year of his life. And I don't know if any of us really got it. If we did, praise God. And if now you're getting it, man, practice that. Because it's so beneficial in our lives to have that life lesson. Even though he's gone, he's still teaching us valuable lessons because we can look back. What a servant of God. That's what I want to strive to be like, is men like that who have a tremendous desire, no matter what they're going through, to continue to gently teach. Boy, his messages weren't on, he wasn't an in-your-face preacher towards the end of his life. He was gentle. Some people say, well, you're not like your dad. Folks, I understand that. But a lot of you folks didn't know my dad at my age. You didn't know the passion, the fire that he had at my age. That gentleness that you saw at the end of his life took years to get to. And I see that. And Peggy, I would love to instantly be like my dad in that area. But there's some things that I got to go through to get me there. Yeah, I'm rough around the edges. So are you. But to be a servant of God, to gently teach God's people, to show them who Christ is. That's what we all should be striving for, amen? We all can be a help to somebody in our life, to another individual that needs it, to be a servant to God. You know, I'm hearing that precious baby speak out right now. But a few months ago, it wasn't that long ago, where she was in need of prayer. And you know what God's people did as servants? They met and prayed. And I'll never forget it. Because that Wednesday night after we prayed, her condition gets better. How did that take place? People having a servant's heart for somebody else. And you can interrupt a service as much as you want, because that's joy to our ears. And I don't call it an interruption. See, she agrees. I hope that you get what I'm talking about. And I know I'm talking to a lot of us older folks in here tonight, but I want us, our younger people to really see this. Dallas isn't going to be here forever. Jeff's not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be here forever. And when we're gone, we want this place to continue. But you got to have a servant's heart. Heather, you're doing a tremendous job with your class. You're molding young people. If you haven't seen her class, she's teaching on the names of God. I would have never thought of that for the people you're teaching. There's so much knowledge that they're getting from her. And it's going to make an impact. And it already has. Amen? Folks, I'm just sharing my heart with you tonight. That's all I'm doing. Sometimes that's the best preaching you can have sometimes. And I know I'm not the greatest at these things. I know I'm not the greatest of being the servant that I should be. I know I'm not the greatest at being the compassionate person that I should be. But can I ask you a question? Are you? We're so quick to point somebody else's faults out, but we don't look inside ourselves and see our own faults. We all have room to grow, to be more compassionate, to be more lovable, to be a better servant for Jesus. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed.